a logo appears in bold slanting letters over a blue planet in space, Turner. Now, a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Words appear. We in the United States are fortunate to have a school system that is a tribute to our communities and to our faith in American youth. Today, we are concerned with juvenile delinquency, its causes, and its effects. We are especially concerned when this delinquency boils over into our schools. The scenes and incidents depicted here are fictional. However, we believe that public awareness is a first step toward a remedy for any problem. It is in this spirit and with this faith that Blackboard Jungle was produced.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock.
On a chalkboard, rock. Titles appear. Blackboard Jungle, copyright 1955. Starring Glenn Ford as Richard Dottier, Anne Francis as Anne Dottier, and Louis Calhern as Jim Murdoch. This film is described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service at WGBH. Described by Paula Broussard and Carrie Danahy. Read by Miles Neff. Funded by the U.S. Department of Education. With Margaret Hayes, John Hoyt, Richard Kiley, Emil Meyer, Basil Ruisdale, and Warner Anderson. And featuring Sidney Poitier, Vic Morrow, Dan Terranova, Rafael Campos, and Paul Mazursky. Screenplay by Richard Brooks, based on the novel by Evan Hunter. Rock Around the Clock, played by Bill Haley and his Comets, courtesy of Decca Records, Inc. Invention for Guitar and Trumpet, played by Stan Kenton and his orchestra, courtesy of Capitol Records, Inc. The Jazzy Blues, played by Bix Beiderbecke and his gang. Produced by Pandro S. Berman. Directed by Richard Brooks. Now, elevated commuter trains roll in opposite directions. On the street, a clean-cut 30-ish man wears a suit and holds a briefcase. Behind him, children in bathing suits play at a spouting fire hydrant. The man watches an irate woman yank one child away, then walks toward a gated schoolyard where teenage boys horse around. Four guys swing dance. Two others walk on their hands. Another group plays with a ball in a circle. The clean-cut man takes in the surroundings with a pensive smile. As he enters the schoolyard, two teens watch him pass. One of the guys, a blonde, wears a baseball cap. The other sports a dark pompadour and puffs on a cigarette. The blonde teen swigs from a bottle. Nearby, three crouching boys give the newcomer a look, too. At the front steps, the legs of a boy in a handstand glide downward as the man walks up. Now, a young woman passes the fenced schoolyard. Boys gesture through the bars. Inside, the clean-cut man comes to a sign which reads, Principal's Office, Mr. Warnicky. He approaches a man and woman reviewing a file.
Excuse me, I believe I have an appointment with the principal.
Name? Name?
Richard Dadier.
Business, please.
Well, I've been here before. It's about the about the English teacher's job.
Sit down, please.
Yes, thank you.
Not at all.
Dadier sits next to a woman and two men, all dressed in business suits. As another man leaves, the three rival applicants stand.
Mr. Dadier, Richard.
Dadier glances at the woman beside him, then steps toward the office. The exiting applicant approaches the secretary.
We'll call you,
Mr. Lefkowitz.
In Warnicky's office, the principal holds an application.
Mr. Dadier.
Yes, sir.
Warnicky gestures for Dadier to sit.
What college did you attend?
I believe it's right there on the form, isn't it, sir?
But that was an all-girls school.
Yes, well, they took in veterans after the war, you see. I believe they still do. So many of us coming back all at once, it was a little difficult to find a school or a college.
A veteran?
Yes, sir, I was in the Navy, sir.
I beg your pardon?
I was in the Navy.
You speak very softly. Can you be heard at the back of a classroom?
Well, I did some dramatics at college, sir, and they could always hear me right in the very last row.
Really?
Shall I project a little, sir?
Go ahead and project.
Once more unto the breach, dear friends, once more. Or close up the wall with our English dead.
In the reception area, the others listen.
In peace,
one man mouths
so
the words.
Becomes a man as modest stillness and humility. But when the blast of war blows in our ears...
Warnicky paces.
Then imitate the action of the tiger.
Very aptly chosen. Henry the Fourth, wasn't it?
It was Henry the Fifth, I believe.
Right. Give your credentials to Miss Brady in the outer office.
What, you mean I have the job?
Congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
Better meet some of the other teachers and get acquainted. Organizational meeting in an hour. Any questions?
No, no, sir.
At the door, Dottier hesitates and turns to Warnicky.
There's just one question, sir. The discipline problem here,
I beg your pardon?
Well, I understand
that. There is no discipline problem in this school, Mr. Dottier. Not as long as I'm principal.
I see. Thank you, sir.
Dottier approaches the secretary and pulls a paper from his suit coat.
Miss Brady, my credentials.
Mr. Edwards,
thank
Joshua,
you very much.
Not at all.
Another applicant steps up. Miss Brady ignores him, and he disappears into Warnicky's office. Now in a gym, a portly teacher whacks a punching bag. One of two colleagues beside him speaks.
Anyway, he says to me, exaggeration. Pure exaggeration. There is absolutely no discipline problem here.
There's no discipline problem with Alcatraz either.
You can't teach a disorderly mob.
That's right. You've got to have discipline, and that means obedience.
How are you going to get that?
With a ruler.
Take a ruler to one of these delinquents, he'll beat you to death with it.
Dottier approaches.
Oh, my name's Murdoch. You teacher?
Yes. English. Richard Dottier.
Louis Savoldi, carpentry.
George Katz, social science.
I'm taking money under the false pretense of teaching history.
Oh, thought you developed their muscles.
No, developing my own. Getting in shape to defend myself for the fall term.
Makes it sound like a reform school.
Oh, first teaching job, eh?
That's right.
Don't listen to him, Dottier. He's a cynic.
Why not? This is the garbage can of the educational system. You take most of these schools and put them together, and what have you got? One big, fat, overflowing garbage can.
Think of teaching in an all-girls school.
Think of those 20-year jail sentences.
Got any tips for a rookie?
Two. Don't be a hero. And never turn your back on the class.
As Katz and Manners leave, Dottier walks up to Murdoch.
How long have you been teaching here?
Oh, 12 years. Two Purple Hearts and no salary increase. They hire fools like us with college degrees to sit on that garbage can, keep them in school. So women, for a few hours a day, can walk around the city without getting attacked.
Really?
A brunette in a tight sweater faces them.
I mean, there must be some students who want to learn.
The men eye her up and down.
You gonna teach them in that outfit? Because if those kids ever get a look at... Have you arranged with the National Guard to escort you to class every day?
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. Your principal, Mr. Warnicky.
Welcome. Welcome to the old faces. Welcome to the new faces. Miss Panucci.
Okay. These kids, they can't all be bad, can they?
No? Why?
Dottier gazes off uncomfortably. Later in a classroom, he walks between rows of desks. A teacher in eyeglasses enters.
Makes you feel good, doesn't it?
That's funny. I didn't think it would affect me this way. After all, it's only a job, but... When I stepped into my own classroom, it was just like reaching a goal, kind of.
Don't believe I got your name.
Oh, Edwards. Josh Edwards.
I see.
Two first names, like Harry James. Do you like swing?
Yeah, well, most of it.
I've got a really fine collection. I can't remember ever being so excited.
It'll pass. Let me wait till Monday.
Well, some of the teachers were talking. You don't really expect any trouble, do you? I mean, I figure you can handle any kid if you...
If you can handle him.
Edwards gives Dottier a puzzled look. Now at an Italian restaurant, Dottier makes a selection at a jukebox as a steward shows him a bottle of champagne. The steward looks across the room and Dottier looks too. A blonde in her 20s descends a staircase. Dressed in a circle skirt, blouse and cardigan, she smiles weakly at Dottier.
How's the most beautiful life in the whole world?
Hot, tired. I don't feel very much like anything, especially not attractive. I just feel 4 months pregnant.
Beautifully pregnant.
Champagne?
Yep.
And ravioli.
He gives her flowers.
Oh, you got the job. Oh, darling. Congratulations, Professor.
You want some cheese?
Oh, champagne and ravioli. Now, that's no way to feed an unborn child.
Well, champagne, that's for the mother.
That's for luck.
I've had luck from the very first moment we met, Anne.
Anne's gaze drops. She stares uneasily into the bouquet of flowers.
What? Something wrong? What's the matter, dear?
Nothing.
Now, look, honey, it's all going to be over real soon.
No, it's not that. It's just that I don't want to let you down again, that's all.
You've never let me down, ever.
I don't know what happened the last time.
Now, look, it's not your fault. A lot of women, they lose babies. I mean, after all, it was only 2 months. And
I know. I can't help thinking about it. I just don't want anything to happen.
Nothing's going to happen. No. It's going to be 7.5 pounds in weight. It's going to have your looks in my brains, and it's going to support us in our old age. The most important thing is, darling, you mustn't worry. Please. No bad memories, huh? No guilty feelings. Please. Please, Anne.
And you don't mind my being this way?
How could I mind? I'm responsible, aren't I?
He lifts his glass of champagne.
Yeah. To the three of us.
To the three of us.
Later, in front of the restaurant, Anne sniffs her bouquet as Dottier slips an arm around her. Two hot rods round a corner racing. One sideswipes a parked car, which rolls up onto the sidewalk just feet in front of Dottier and his wife.
You are right.
What happened?
Some crazy kids, that's what happened.
A bystander gazes down the street as a crowd gathers by the toppled car. Now, at the school auditorium, 100 teenage boys mill around. Dottier enters from the back of the room. Two boys clip him as they run by, and the blonde student wearing the cap throws Dottier a surly look. Dottier shoulders past a black kid leafing through a magazine and two guys smoking cigarettes. As he weaves across the crowded hall, he looks around uneasily, with one hand in his pocket and his briefcase under his arm. He straightens his tie and approaches a number of teachers grouped near a stage. Murdoch looks up.
Good morning.
Morning.
Last time I felt like this is when we hit the beach at Salerno.
At least they're not shooting at us here.
Not yet.
Good morning.
The brunette teacher wears a prim gray suit.
Do I look all right?
Ravishing.
Really very nervous. Do you think they'll like me?
They may even fight over you.
She looks at him warily. In the crowd, a Hispanic boy stands on a chair.
I thought you said you were...
A teacher takes the stage.
Hey, look at him. He knows how to count up to four.
Sure, man. He graduated from the school, didn't he?
The surly blonde student smirks. The brunette teacher lifts a hand to tap Murdoch, then retracts it. The bow-tied man on stage glares.
Shut up.
Dottier and Edwards turn to watch him.
All right, that's enough stupid nonsense. Next guy opens his trap knows what happens.
Who's that? I think he teaches public speaking or something. I don't know.
By this time, you already said hello to everybody, so cut the yakety and then we get on to business. Voice. In the name of your principal, Mr. Warnicky, I want to welcome you back to North Manual. Now, without further ado, we'll have the teachers call out the rolls of their official classes. When you hear your name called out, you fall out in the center aisle. And the first guy gets trouble right back. We start with the seniors. And because we're gentlemen, the ladies come first. We got a new teacher here. She's going to take care of you senior boys. Miss Hammond, please.
Miss Hammond stands with her roll book. Her eyes flash nervously. As she walks up the aisle, the students stare and smile at her appreciatively. She mounts the stairs to the stage, her mid-calf skirt pulling taut over her shapely legs. On stage, she drops her roll book, then crouches demurely to retrieve it. She looks over to the announcer. He picks it up for her, then bows graciously. A guy raises his fist together like a victorious boxer, then slides palms with another student. As Dottier casts an uneasy look at Edwards, Hammond looks imploringly at the announcer.
Alpina, Donald Beck, Samuel Barstow, Harry Cohen, Leroy Croft. Right.
Later, Dottier leads his students down a hallway.
Up those stairs down there, please. There'll be no talking on the way up.
Hey, Cheech, what Mr. Hallam say your name was?
I said there'll be no talking on the way up.
Take this man. He's playing it real hard.
He's a big man.
A skinny blonde boy breaks out of the line.
And hold it. You.
What's the matter, boy?
The boy's teary gaze drifts to the grim faces of the pompadoured guy and the blonde in the cap. The skinny boy rushes away.
Hey, you.
Dottier points at the blonde.
You! Yes, you. What's your name?
What's
your name?
What are you picking on me for?
I'm not picking on you. I'm asking what your name is.
You mean you never heard Artie West before, Teach?
All right, West, I want you to monitor this class for a minute. I want you to write down the names of anybody who talks. You understand?
Who talks about what?
Anything. If they open their mouth, just write their name.
Well, I haven't got a pencil.
I've got a pencil.
Well, I haven't got any paper.
Oh, just take it. Will you take it, please?
Look, Dottier walks off.
So what'd you make the kid cry?
In a locker room, five students smoke.
Jiggy.
Dottier enters.
Just hold on. What is this, the officers' club or something? I don't want to catch any of you smoking in here again, you understand? Now get out. Come on, you heard what I said. Get out.
As three leave, a kid in a satiny baseball jacket and a black student stay behind.
Smile, you two guys privileged characters or something?
Well, you only just got here, Chief.
You did, huh? Now just get out.
Can a man wash his hands, Chief?
Wash him and get out.
Sure, Chief. You gonna watch me?
Maybe you'd like to wash him for us.
What's your name?
You, I'm talking to you.
Me?
Yes, you.
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel what?
Emmanuel Trades. Don't you know, man, this boy got the school named after him.
Dottier fixes his gaze on the tall black student and approaches him. The young man keeps washing his hands.
What's your name, wise guy?
Me? Miller. Gregory Miller. You want me to spell it out for you so you won't forget it?
You don't have to do that. I'll remember, Miller.
Sure, Chief, you do that.
Or maybe you'd like to take a walk down to the principal's office right now with me. Is that what you want?
You holding all the cards, Chief. You want to take me to see Mr. Warnicke? You do just that.
Who's your home period teacher?
You are, Chief.
Well, why aren't you with the rest of the class?
I already told you. Came in to wash up, Chief.
All right, then wash up. Just cut out that chief routine, you understand?
Sure, Chief. That's what I've been doing all the time. Okay for us to drift now, Chief?
I want to catch you in here again.
Suppose I got business here, Chief.
Look, how many times do I have to tell you? Let's go, huh? Come on, let's go.
The boys eye their teacher.
Let's go, bright boy.
Dottier takes a step forward.
He means me.
Miller and Emmanuel swagger out through two swinging double doors. Emmanuel flips one door hard behind him, smirking back at Dottier. The teacher looks around anxiously, then follows. Now, in a crowded classroom, students sit on desks. Miller, Emmanuel, West, and the pompadour guy enter. Dottier walks in.
All right, sit anywhere. We'll arrange permanent seating later. You want to close the door for me then?
Thank you.
Students take seats.
Now, let's break it up back there.
West continues talking with his pompadoured buddy.
Hear what I said? I said break it up.
Why?
Dottier walks toward the two students who separate.
What'd you say?
I said what?
Sit down.
West finds a seat, then makes another student move to give his pompadoured friend Balazzi a closer seat.
The first thing we're going to do is pass these cards up. Take one pass the rest back. Number this class is 55. Number the classroom is 206. My name is spelled D-A-D-I-E-R. It's pronounced Da-D.
A baseball hits the blackboard and chips off some slate where Dottier's name is written. Dottier freezes, then calmly tosses and catches his piece of chalk. His eyes search the floor and he retrieves the baseball. He gives it a toss and catches it, then turns his cool gaze on the students. They return his look, straight-faced. One guy smiles vacantly. As Dottier grips the baseball, his mouth lifts into a faint grin.
Whoever threw that, you'll never pitch for the Yanks, boy.
Miller stifles a smile.
Hey, Artie, how do you like Mr. Daddy-O?
Daddy-o.
Several students Daddy-o. Dance around. Daddy-o. Dottier sits on the edge of his desk and tosses the ball. The students calm down.
Y'all finished? Fine. Glad you got that out of your system. My name is Dottier, Mr. Dottier. Pronunciation is a very important part of English. I'd hate to fail anybody who couldn't pronounce my name.
Me too, teach.
Mr. Dottier.
Yes.
Say it. And take your hat off in this classroom.
You ever try to fight 35 guys at one time, teach?
Dottier's eyes flit left and right. He starts down the aisle toward West. West stands defiantly and faces the teacher as he approaches.
Take your hat off, boy, before I knock it off.
West and Miller exchange a glance. West looks around the classroom, and the other students jerk their focus back to their forms. West eyes Dottier, then takes off his cap. He wags it lightly in his hand and slowly sinks into his chair.
Now, the subject you're going to learn in this class is English. Some of you may wonder if English can help you get a job as a carpenter, a mechanic, or an electrician. The answer is yes. In fact, it may even surprise you to find that English is your favorite subject.
All right. I'll be surprised, all right.
There'll be no calling out now. If you've got any questions asked, just raise your hand. You hear that, Miller?
Sure, teach. You coming in strong. I can't tune you out.
His name ain't Teach. Daddy-o.
Hey, don't you know his name, jerk?
Excuse me, Mr. Jerk.
All right, Wes, since you're so cooperative, suppose you stay after class and help me out.
I'm busy.
I'll go on, Artie. Help him out.
Then you could be together alone.
Oh, Daddy-o.
All right. All right. Got a few laughs. In a minute, the bell's going to ring out there. That means you go to your civics class. Now, tomorrow morning, when you come into this class, we're going to...
Teach, you're coming back here tomorrow?
Sure, I'm coming back. You know why? Because I'll miss you, West. All right, let's knock it off. Now, come on. That's enough, huh? What's the matter with you?
The smiley guy.
You, Santini. What's your problem?
Me?
Yeah, well, what are you grinning for?
He's the grinningest cat in this whole school. He smiles all the time. That's because he's an idiot, boy.
Well, just try and pay attention, Santini.
I pay attention.
A guy pats Santini on the shoulder, and the students stand to go.
Hey, Miller. Come on, I want to talk to you a minute, Miller.
All the students freeze. They watch closely as Miller saunters over to the teacher. Then they move on.
Man-to-man talk, Emily. You know, I've been looking up the records, and you're a natural-born leader.
Yeah.
Really? You are. Those guys out there, they like you very much. Now, don't be modest with me, Miller. You know that you're a little brighter, a little smarter than the rest of those guys.
Me?
Yeah. And every class needs a leader. And you could be that leader, Miller. What you do, they'll do. You cooperate, and they'll follow you. How about it, Miller?
I don't know.
But I do know, Miller. How about it?
I'm sure, if you think so.
That's a boy. Good. That's fine, Miller.
Dottier tosses the baseball.
Oh, is that yours?
Miller smiles and shakes his head.
Yeah. Take it easy, man.
Sure, Matt.
Miller turns for the door, halts as he sees West and his lackeys, then weaves past them. West and the others glower at Dottier. Now, at a time clock, Miss Hammond punches out.
Good night.
Night.
Why, hello.
Miss Hammond? Oh, well, how'd it go today?
You mean after my disaster this morning?
Yeah.
My entire class volunteered to stay after school and pound erasers or something. Got a ride home?
Yeah, I have a private limousine.
Oh?
City bus.
My way's more private. I'll give you a lift.
Well, I have to check out first.
Oh, that's all right. I'll meet you downstairs.
Dottier eyes the teacher's shapely figure as she walks away toward a staircase. She pauses alone on the stairwell, raises her skirt slightly, and adjusts her garnered stock. A light-haired student watches her from below, then ducks out of sight as she continues downstairs. Now, in an elevator, Murdoch and Edwards wait for two boys who enter carrying stacks of books.
They don't
don't even know their multiplication table.
Of course not. All they can multiply is themselves.
Well, how are they ever graduated?
Graduated.
Dottier.
Going down?
No, going up. Graduated, they just get to be 18. Then they're thrown out to make room for more of the same kind.
Dottier hurries down the staircase. He walks down one flight, glances side to side, then turns down a hallway. On the floor up ahead, he spots a high-heeled black and white shoe. He stoops to pick it up and eyes it with a puzzled brow. As he stands to go, a noise draws his gaze to a window in the library door. He peers inside. The light-haired student pulls Miss Hammond behind a bookcase. Finding the door locked, Dottier shatters the glass with his briefcase. In an office, the bow-tie teacher hears. Now Dottier charges into the library. Miss Hammond clings to a bookcase, her bare shoulders showing. The student throws books at Dottier. Dottier chases him, and they face off on opposite sides of a four-foot globe. Dottier overturns it, and the boy makes a dive through a window. Dottier pulls the boy back in by his legs. The student tries to throw a punch, but collapses, his face covered with bloody gashes. The bow-tied teacher arrives and seizes him.
What happened?
As Edwards and Murdoch arrive, a female colleague ushers Miss Hammond out, followed by the bow-tied teacher and the bloody student.
What happened?
Why, it's the first day of school, teacher.
Later at home, Dottier talks with Anne.
The way she screamed. I mean, the way she looked. Scared. Man, I mean real scared. I thought, you know, this could be happening to Anne. And I hit him.
Maybe she provoked the boy.
What?
Well, teachers ought not to dress sexy.
What do you mean sexy? She had on a, what do you call it, these sport outfits? Button? Right up to here.
I'll bet. And black net stockings, too.
No, they were kind of, I mean, they were flesh colored.
See? Rick?
Yeah?
Is she beautiful?
Who?
Miss Hammond, that's who. Miss Desirable Hammond.
Oh, yeah, I'd say that in a, well, in kind of a flashy way, she's, yeah, I'd say she's, well, she's attractive.
What was I wearing when you came home tonight?
What were you wearing?
Never noticed, did you?
Now, wait a minute, let me think. What were you wearing? You were wearing, she had on that blue outfit, didn't she, with the, no, it was the blue, the pink dress with the blue ribbon, you know, the little ribbon you wear up here, and you had on a little apron. Yeah, you didn't take your iron tablets, did you?
Yes, I took my iron tablets. You didn't think I was very sexy, did you?
I thought you were irresistible, Anne.
Prove it.
What about your calcium tablets?
More, please.
Did you take them?
Don't be so medical.
Look, what was she wearing or were you wearing? Well, what's all this about? What was I wearing when I came home?
Turn out the lights and hold.
What was I wearing? Do you remember? You don't remember, do you?
A brown suit.
No, it wasn't a brown suit.
A gray suit.
No.
Striped necktie?
No. You don't remember, do you? How does that prove that you don't love me?
Just proves I'm silly and jealous. I love you too much.
Daytime at the schoolyard.
Oh, he looked terrible. Must have hit him from behind.
I know, teach must have some wallop.
Nah, he hit it with brass knuckles.
That's right, I seen him. He carries him in that little old bag of his.
Four transfusions Joey had to have. His nose was busted, too. What do you think, Artie?
Man, they say it slugged Joyce Harder knocked all his front teeth out.
What'd the teach hit him with?
Ain't you heard? The teach was middleweight champ of the Navy.
Three freeloading boys hop off the rear bumper of a bus and walk toward the schoolyard. Dottier steps out at the front of the bus and joins the crowd of entering students. Emmanuel nudges Balazzi, and West watches Dottier's shoulder through the crowd. Students eye the teacher warily.
Morning, Miller.
Miller stares at Dottier, then turns his back on the teacher. The rest of Miller's friends do the same. As Dottier scans the crowd, two other boys stop and face him squarely. West and Balazzi glare from across the yard. As the teacher makes his way toward the front steps, the boys press in closer. Miller's piercing gaze follows Dottier. Now, two larger guys cross Dottier's path, their gait deliberate and slow. Dottier reaches the top of the stairs, sweat beads on his forehead. He stands with his back to the crowd of staring boys, turns his head slightly over his shoulder, then goes inside. Later, Dottier writes on a blackboard.
Now, today we're going to pinpoint some of your faults in grammar. I've written several sentences on the board. I want you to read those sentences using the proper word. Now, does everybody understand that? Oh, we're very quiet today. All right, now let's get started. Now, don't be afraid to make mistakes, because after all, that's how you learn, by making mistakes. All right, Miller, will you take the first one?
Henry hasn't written no answer to my letter.
No, Miller, it should be Henry hasn't written any answer to my letter. Delica, second one.
If I were him, I wouldn't say that.
No, if I were you, I wouldn't say that either. It should be if I were he. All right, West, the third one.
I throw the ball fast.
All right, come on, West, you know better than that. This is third term stuff. You had that 2 years ago.
Won't anyone borrow you a pen?
The class chose him as president.
Where was you when it happened?
Well, we didn't do very well with this, did we?
Dottier paces down an aisle between the desks and gives a faint nod.
All right. I think a little homework will straighten that out.
Homework? Are you?
Yes, homework. You can start copying all 35 of these sentences in your notebooks right now.
Even the first week of school. I gotta go to work after school, teach.
This homework will count as a test. You might decide whether you pass or fail this course.
The students open notebooks and begin to write.
Miller?
Miller looks up, his pencil freezing. He exchanges a glance with West, then gets up. Dottier walks to the door and Miller follows. The rest of the class stares as the two enter the hallway.
This...
Dottier closes the door.
This was your idea, wasn't it?
What idea is that?
This silent treatment. Picking the wrong answers deliberately. Look, I know you're the leader. Fine. But you're leading them in the wrong direction. Why?
Maybe you ought to mind your own business, Chief. Ain't many guys like what happened to Joe Murray. He's going to jail. You know that?
I see. That's why you set the class against me. Huh?
They don't need no excuse on me to help them.
Well, what about that talk we had? Miller,
suppose we just forget about that little snow job, Mr. Dottier.
As Miller returns to his seat, Dottier frowns at West, who fidgets broodingly with his pencil. An Asian student nearby diligently copies into his notebook. Later, Dottier meets Miss Hammond at the school exit.
Hi. I wanted to thank you.
It's all right.
Would you mind walking out to the car with me? With those kids out there and all, I...
No.
If it's too much trouble for you.
No, not at all.
Thanks. I hope I haven't hindered you with your classes.
How'd you make out today?
Oh, the boys were very quiet. Guess I know what they were thinking.
As Miss Hammond crosses the schoolyard with Dottier, West and Balazzi eye them from the gate. Miss Hammond takes Dottier's arm and they join Edwards.
Oh, Josh.
Hi.
As the three teachers leave the schoolyard, West swings on the iron gate. He bites his thumbnail as he watches them. Dottier shuts Miss Hammond's car door.
How about a drink?
Yeah, fine.
Let's go over there.
As the two men head across the street, West watches from the gate. He pulls a ponytailed girl closer and whispers to her. She takes off after the teachers. In a lounge, Edward steps from a jukebox as Dottier gets a drink at the bar. Edward sits next to him on a stool.
I gotta get home.
What was the last one?
For the road. The road.
They sip their drinks.
Stan the man. Terrific stuff. Very educated gentleman.
Yeah. Just like our students.
Edwards takes off his eyeglasses.
Everything always comes back to our students, isn't it? You know something?
Mm-hmm.
I am disappointed. Very disappointed. Listen. Listen to this passage.
On those trumpets.
Edwards shakes his glasses to the beat, then wipes them. The ponytailed girl arrives. Wearing tight pants, she leans over the bar. Edwards glances at her rear, then returns his attention to the music. The girl gives the two men a sidelong glance, then walks away.
Bartender?
Dottier bows his head drunkenly.
I wonder if there are many alcoholics among high school teachers.
It's not fair, Rick.
I want to teach. I really want to teach. So why don't they let me teach? Any man who really wants to teach should be allowed to teach.
I know.
Did I tell you?
What?
I'm bringing my record collection in and playing it for the class.
Where?
Yeah, what?
Well, I mean, yeah, what? You told me. Oh. You're bringing the record. I mean, now, wait a minute. Suppose they don't like it, the record.
Well, why not? Listen, it took me 15 years to collect those records. Half those records can't even be replaced. Besides, music is based on mathematics. Am I right?
Yeah.
What do I teach?
Mathematics. You're right. Absolutely.
To teaching.
Edwards lifts his glass to Dottier's.
To teaching.
They finish their drinks. As Dottier leaves, Edwards puts a few bills on the bar top. Outside, Dottier pauses to steady himself on a pole. Edwards moseys out behind him and leans against the door jamb.
I gotta get home fast. My wife's pregnant, you know.
Well, congratulations. Hey, let's take a cut through here. Shortcut to the bus, huh?
All right.
They turn down an alley.
Yes, sir. It's the best professional anywhere.
Yes.
Yep.
Three boys jog past them.
Best professional anywhere. So why don't they let me teach? I don't know, I guess because they're just bad guys.
Bad? They're just ignorant.
Bad and ignorant.
You don't really believe that, do you?
No, I don't really mean it, Josh.
Two teens sneak behind Edwards and Dottier.
I don't really mean it.
Two more appear by some garbage cans.
Josh.
They stop.
It's funny.
What's funny?
Footsteps, you hear those footsteps.
A teen punches Dottier, and both teachers go down. Six guys converge on them from opposite directions, and they all gang up on Edwards and Dottier. As Dottier slugs one in the stomach, a teen grabs him around the neck from behind. Edwards slams his briefcase into one, then punches another. Two teens, each with an X on the backs of their leather jackets, slam Edwards against a wall. Another belts Dottier's bleeding mouth.
I don't want you to get Joe Murray killed!
West slashes an X into Dottier's briefcase as three guys lay into Edwards. A neighboring window slams shut, and a police car pulls into the alley. The gang scatters. Edwards hangs limply against the wall, clutching his abdomen, and Dottier looks weakly at the police car. Edwards collapses, and Dottier rushes to him. He kneels and holds up his friend's heavy head.
Josh.
Edwards slumps forward. As two policemen carry the injured man away, Dottier gazes down the alley. Moonlight etches his cut cheek. Later, at Dottier's apartment, Anne pulls a pan of food from an oven.
Hello?
Mr. Dottier there?
No, he isn't here right now. Who is this? Hello? Hello?
Anne hangs up, then opens the door. She sees no one. Stepping out, she finds Dottier leaning beside the doorframe. His hand shields his eye.
Turn out the lights.
Frank.
The lights.
She flips off the lights. As Dottier enters, she sees his torn clothes and beaten face.
Frank.
He turns off another lamp and sits. Anne kneels before him, her mouth hanging open as she stares at his wounds.
You mustn't be scared. I'm hurt.
Oh, call a doctor.
No, I'll be all right. Just don't look at me, Anne, please. No, please, you mustn't. A thing like this could... I don't want you to lose the baby, Anne.
Anne grits her teeth.
You're never going back to that school again. Never.
Oh, yes, I am. Yeah, I've been beaten up. But I'm not beaten. There's a big difference. I'm not beaten, and I'm not beaten.
Anne gazes at Dottier, takes his hand and kisses it. He presses his lips to her forehead. Daytime. A stately brick building sits on a lawn shaded with trees. Students stroll the grounds. Inside, Dottier talks with a man.
What's the answer, Professor? Oh, I'm going back to the school tomorrow.
Ann doesn't want me to go, huh? Maybe she's right. Is it hopeless? Is there no way to get through to those kids? Is there no way to make them understand?
You'll find a way.
Well, what if I don't? What then? And what's the point of teaching if kids don't care about an education? And make no mistake about it, they don't.
You're wrong. You're the blind man who visits an elephant. He feels a tail and he says, an elephant must be like a snake. Come.
In a classroom.
Porto, Turcari. Porto, Portal, Portat. Portamus, Portatus, Portant.
Now, in a lab, two students work at a table with test tubes and beakers. A girl holds a flame to a container, which sends up a puff of smoke. Now, in an auditorium. Young, smartly dressed men and women filled the hall. Outside, Daudier walks with the professor.
Any teacher could get through to students like these. The kind of students I have, why bother with them?
In this country, all children are entitled to an education.
I'm not prepared for my job. You were my professor in college, and you taught me how to stop a fight in a classroom. How to deal with an IQ of 66, how to quiet a class of screaming wild animals. Oh, why bother about them? They'll survive without me.
But who wants wild animals in the street?
If I'm going to be a lion's tamer, I should teach with a chair and a whip.
Yes, we at the university were to blame. We did not prepare the teachers to teach certain children of this generation. Tell me, Richard, why do you want to be a teacher? Just to earn a living? No. It is easier, perhaps, than some other job?
Daudier gazes off intently.
Easier?
He removes a small adhesive bandage and shows his cut cheek.
Perhaps you're dedicated.
No, hardly. I want to teach. Well, most of us want to do something creative. I can't be a painter, a writer, or an engineer, but I thought that if I could help to shape young minds, sort of sculpt lives, and by teaching, I'd be creating.
For every school like yours, there are hundreds like this one. We could use you, but your school needs you. You still want to teach here in this school?
Daudier glances over his shoulder at the neatly maintained building and grounds.
I think I'll take another crack at my jungle.
Now, rain pelts down on a police car parked outside the inner city schoolyard. West and Balazzi run by, their clothes dripping. As they enter the school, Miller walks up, holding his jacket lapels tightly together. Inside, Daudier mounts a staircase with a police detective and an officer in rain gear.
Well, Paul says you couldn't identify any of the boys.
It was dark. I told you, it was dark. I couldn't see anything.
The good name of the school, your job, what? Somebody have to get kicked to death before you'll cooperate?
It wasn't that serious.
I couldn't make class for a week. I'd say that was serious.
Well, what do you expect me to do?
Press charges. I'll find the ones who did it. I'll go over every kid in the school.
Yes, and you'll do more harm than good.
Mr. Daudier, I've handled lots of problem kids in my time.
Kids from both sides of the tracks. They were 5 or 6 years old in the last war. Father in the army, mother in a defense plant. No home life, no church life, no place to go. They form street gangs. It's way over my head, Mr. Daudier. Maybe the kids today are like the rest of the world. Mixed up, suspicious, scared. I don't know. But I do know this. Gang leaders are taking the place of parents, and if you don't stop them...
Class is starting, do you mind?
Then you won't help us?
I'm sorry.
Sure, and I hope you'll never be sorry.
Thanks, anyway.
For what? Tying our hands so it can happen again? And don't worry. It will.
The detective stares coolly at Daudier. The teacher watches the two officers leave, then enters his classroom. West grins at Daudier. The teacher crosses the room carrying a hinged box with a handle. As he places the item on his desk, Miller approaches.
Welcome back, Chief. You bring your cosmetic to school, Chief? Don't get touchy, Chief. I know lots of guys use makeup.
Daudier looks around the classroom.
Well, at least the silent treatment seems to have ended.
Daudier's desk vibrates, He grips the jittering desk lamp, then looks up at the ceiling. The light fixtures shudder. Around the classroom, bookcases rattle, and the students hold on to their shaking desks.
New machine shop, chief. Since when? Installed it last week.
Does this go on all the time?
Most any time.
Oh, no.
That's great. That's all we needed.
He pats the hinged box.
This is a tape recorder.
Was we gonna make records, Teach?
That's right.
Well, go, man. Go!
Now, we all talk too much, but nobody listens. Nobody listens. And I thought that perhaps if we talk into this machine and then we listen...
Oh, it's a speech period. How I spent my summer vacation.
This ought to be real jazzy.
No speeches. This is... If there's one thing I didn't like when I went to high school...
Teach, did you go to high school?
Can't you see, man, he ain't never got out. Well, since you want to talk so very badly, I guess I'm not going to have much trouble getting you to talk into this machine.
What kind of talk? Snappy stories?
Dottier takes a step toward Miller.
Miller, how'd you like to bring your mother to school?
How'd you like to bring yours?
Hey, Morelli's got a sister. Maybe he'd like to bring her to school.
Come on with those sisters, man. Hello,
Mr. Hey, what do you say? We all sing a little, huh? Come on. Yeah. It's the last rules of summer.
Hey, chicks, you got that reward going through.
Quiet!
The teens freeze. Dottier unravels the microphone cord and plugs it into the recorder.
All right, now, who's going to be the first to try this out, huh?
How about Morales?
Hey, what's the matter with Morales?
Sure, Morales, he loves to talk.
Now, Tomita, suppose you step up here and try it.
You against Morales because he don't talk good English?
That has nothing to do with it.
Hey, Morales, come on, get up there. I want to hear you talk.
Come on.
Morales. Come on, chicken.
We want Morales.
I know, chicken.
Morales squares his shoulders, then steps forward. Dottier hands him the palm-sized microphone.
All right, start talking.
What am I going to talk about?
Talk about anything. How you got up this morning, took the bus to school.
Well,
go ahead.
I get up at 7:30, go wash. But my stinking sister, she's still in the bathroom, so I can't get in.
That's fine, boy. Just keep talking.
So, then I go to a stinking bathroom. I wash my stinking face. Then I eat some stinking sausages.
Hey, Laura, come
we
on.
We can't hear you in the balcony.
So, then I go down the stinking street with my stinking books, and then I meet the stink face who lives near me. And he says, you go to school, Pete? So I says, you stinking right, boy. So we walk to stinking L. And we wait for the stinking train. What do you think? The stinking train is late. So I gotta get into a stinking crowd. And that's why I'm stinking late to school, Teach. How was I, okay?
You sure snuck up that record, boy.
Dottier switches off the recorder and unplugs the microphone.
That'll be enough for today.
Oh, aren't you gonna play it back?
No. Thanks for picking Morales. I'm sure you're his friend.
Sure enough, Chief. Too bad you can't say the same.
Dottier glares.
Just what does that mean?
Morales is a spick, that's what it means. Maybe you don't like spicks.
That'll be enough of that question.
Did I do anyhow?
Well, sit down. Spick.
I heard him breeze balls.
Listen, Norris, me.
Balazzi throws a magazine.
I said that'd be enough. Now pick up that magazine, Balazzi.
Balazzi stares, unflinching.
Pick it up.
He rises slowly to get the magazine.
I want to get one thing very clear in this classroom. There's not going to be any name calling here, not today, not tomorrow, not ever. Now, you understand that, all of you?
I was just kidding.
Yeah, I know, you're just kidding. That's how things start, just kidding. Like a street fight, somebody pushes somebody in fun, and somebody pushes it back, and pretty soon you got a street fight with no kidding. That's the same way with name calling. All right, West, look, you're of Irish descent, right? So is Murphy over there. You call him a Mick, he calls you a Mick. But suppose Miller here calls you a Mick. Is that all right? No. And you call him a nigger.
Well, I was just kidding.
Well, stop kidding!
Sure. Come on, come on. Tell me. Tell me all about your stinking sister.
The students stand to go.
You gonna play Morales' record back, Chief?
As the boys file out of the classroom, Dottier stands with a hand on Miller's empty desk, which shakes under his fingertips. Later, Dottier enters the school office.
Mr. Warnicke wanted to see me.
Yeah. Warnicke exits his office with Murdoch.
But Mr. Warnicke, the kid's language...
There are no buts, Murdoch. None that can forgive slapping a student. If you can't control yourself.
Yes, sir, I understand.
They look at Dottier.
Dottier!
Murdoch approaches on his way out.
He's rough today.
Dottier enters the principal's office. Warnicke shuts the door and pulls down the shade.
Sit down, Dottier.
Dottier sits and rubs a hand over his face.
Problems. Nothing but problems, eh, Dottier?
Well, not the same that you have, sir.
If it isn't one thing, it's another. Brutality. Stupidity. Bigotry. Don't you believe that some teachers are guilty of racial prejudice in their classes in this school?
No, I wouldn't know, sir.
Comes out under pressure, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose so.
If you knew of such a teacher, would you tell me about it?
I don't know.
No, no, why not?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know this idea of carrying tales. I mean, there's someone in particular in mind, Mr. Warnicke?
What part of the country are you from?
Dottier looks at him questioningly. Warnicke takes a folder off his desk and opens it.
How do you feel about Negroes, Dottier?
How do I feel about them?
Well, do you consider them inferior?
You mean as a race?
Anyway.
No, I don't consider them inferior.
What about Spics?
Spics?
Spics, do you like them?
Well, it depends on the individual.
What does that mean, Dottier?
I mean, it means there are Puerto Ricans I like, there are Puerto Ricans I don't like.
I see. What about Irish Mics?
Look, Mr. Warnicke, I don't know what this is all about. I mean, if there's some teacher who's teaching...
I'm talking about you, Dottier. You're the teacher who's supposed to be the bigot.
Warnicke points a ruler at him.
What?
It's reported that you've maligned religious and racial groups in your classroom. That's what this is about, Dottier.
That's a lie.
Is it? Did you use the expression nigger in your class?
Yes.
Then it is true.
Now, just wait.
Did you use the expression spick?
Yes, I use it in the same lesson.
The lesson?
Yes.
What textbook did you get this lesson from?
Just listen to me a minute now.
You listen! I don't care if a boy's skin is black, yellow, or purple. It gets the same teaching, the same breaks as any white boy. Do you understand that? Do you? There's enough immorality in the world without your adding to it. Enough hatred, enough blind stupidity. Hold it!
He grabs the ruler.
You just hold it. I use that expression to teach a lesson in democracy, what should not be said. Those were negative examples.
Not according to my report. This boy has accused
what
you...
What boy?
A boy in your class.
What was his name?
Can't tell you that.
Well, suppose he's lying. Don't I have any right to face my accuser? Don't I have any rights at all? I mean, I know I don't have any as a teacher left, but what about my rights as a human being?
Nobody's depriving you of any rights.
You accuse me, you condemn me. Without even a hearing.
Look, I'm sorry, Dottier. I may have been hasty. If I'm wrong, I apologize.
You were wrong.
In that case.
Warnicke offers his hand. Dottier reluctantly shakes it, then turns to the door.
Dottier. Yes. I recall that you had some dramatic training in college. Will you take charge of our Christmas show?
Is this a penalty? Is this a reward? What is it?
Just an extra job.
Dottier looks down, then at Warnicke.
Right.
Dottier leaves. Warnicke shakes his head. Later, Miller walks down a hall. Dottier exits the trumpet office behind him.
Miller? What were you doing?
Doing?
Yeah.
I'm just going down to the machine shop, Chief.
This late after school?
Doing a little homework on this carburetor.
Miller spots Miss Hammond in the room Dottier left.
What kept you after school, Chief? You doing your homework here, too?
He walks off.
Miller.
Dottier follows down the stairs.
You went to see Mr. Warnicke today, didn't you?
Did I?
Yes, you went to see Mr. Warnke and you told him a lot of lies, a lot of deliberate lies. You twisted everything I said. There was no racial issue till you made one.
Miller turns away.
Wait a minute, Miller.
What is it, Chief?
What is what?
Why you've got the knife out for me?
Why I've got the knife out for you? Oh, man, there's a real switch. I mean, after all the trouble you caused, after all you'd done, after the way you fouled up that recording session, after the way you and Weston...
Steady now. Just a minute. The way me and Weston what?
Ganged up on me, that's what.
You don't mean that, Chief.
I do mean it.
Boy, you really got it bad.
You deny it?
He grabs Miller by the collar.
What do you deny it?
You gonna hit me? I'd really like that. That's all you need, boy. That'll really wash you up around here. Come on, start swinging. Come on, you go ahead. Come on.
Why, you black.
Go ahead and say it. You say it now. You go ahead and hit me.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry what I just said, Miller. There's no excuse. I just lost my head. I'm sorry.
Dottier watches Miller go and takes a deep breath.
Miller.
Later, outside, West meets with the rest of the X-Gang.
The truck will be here any minute. You ready, Louie?
Louie swigs booze.
Come on, you just pay attention when I'm talking to you, stupid.
Well, we've been over it 50 times. I slug the guy and Pee-wee takes the wheel. What's so special?
Look, you just stay with him in case he needs you. That's what's so special. You drive to the park. Dump the papers, then get rid of the truck. And the guy sells the papers with me right back here and we divvy up. Now, you got that? You sure you got it now?
The boys see Dottier leaving the schoolyard.
Don't worry about it. Go ahead, blow. Move.
The four boys leave West, who takes a drink from the bottle. Dottier approaches a newsstand and buys a paper.
How's the teacher business coming along?
Dottier flashes a faint smile at the vendor and walks away reading his paper. Nearby, West leans against a support column under the elevated railway. As the delivery truck pulls up, Balazzi takes a chain out of his pocket and another boy gets out a mallet. The truck stops and one of the boys pokes his head in the passenger window.
Hey, what's the chance of getting a job driving a truck like this?
One boy whacks the driver with the mallet. In the back, Balazzi lashes the chain into a man's face. Dottier sees the truck speed off. As he runs after it, West throws a bottle at him. It smashes against a wall.
Easy, kid. Easy. You could have got hurt over there just now. What happened anyway?
Where'd you come from?
I was just strolling down the street and I saw some guy. He threw a bottle right at you and I figured they were out to get you like last time. You know, you could have been maybe shot or something.
Yeah, something. That Balassi with those kids.
Velasco, you mean from our class?
That's right. Wearing the same kind of jacket. They're all wearing the same kind of jacket you are. You're members of the same gang, aren't you?
No, it's a club, Teach. It's a club I belong to, and I didn't see any Velasco.
Well, you didn't see those kids steal that newspaper truck there either,
that's
did
right.
You? You're just passing by, kind of.
That's right. Just like I said, I was just strolling by. I mean, why should I lie to you?
He struts past him.
No, I don't give a damn what you believe.
You know what happened when those kids were caught?
What's that, Teach?
Reform school, you're in jail, maybe more.
You know, a year from now, the army comes by and they say, okay, Artie West, you get in a uniform and you be a soldier and you save the world and you get your lousy head blowed right off. Or maybe I get a year in jail and maybe when I come out the army, they don't want Artie West to be a soldier no more. Maybe what I get is out.
I see.
Do you, Teach? Do you?
Well, West, you got it all.
Come on, get him off! Look, you're in my classroom now. What I could teach you. The first lesson is don't put in, just don't. But you could flunk out for good.
Dottier watches West walk off, then scans the slummy surroundings. Now Edward sits on his desk listening to records. West, Balazzi, and the rest of the class enter the room.
Hey, what'd you get there, Teach?
That was music. Wasn't that music you just had on that, Teach?
For the next class.
Oh, well, what's the matter with this class?
How's this, Jackie?
Look at your records.
All right, just keep your hands off the records.
Beg your pardon? Come on, Teach, swing it. Play something.
No, Joshua's got a test for us. Right, Josh?
You see, music is based on mathematics, and it's
just that the next class is a little more advanced.
Well, we're advanced, Teach. Two times two is four.
R4.
Besides, haven't you heard that music is soothing for the savage beasts?
All right, take your seats.
We're just crazy about music, ain't we?
Read, boy.
Hey, Mr. Edwards, why don't play a record, and then we'll all take the test.
Huh? Sure, please. Oh, come on, Teach.
Well, all right. This is kind of a rare one. This is Bix Beiderbecke doing Jazz Me Blues.
Ah, how about some bop?
Yeah, bop is Teach.
Listen to this. Pay attention to that cornet. Beiderbecke came before James and Elman and Stephen.
As Edwards paces to the back of the classroom, West picks up a record.
He's Cow Boogie.
Keep away from the record.
The boys block him.
Give him the record.
Sure, Teach.
West flings a record across the room.
This is Cherokee. Anybody want to hit his record, huh?
It shatters on the floor. As Edwards dives for it, his glasses fall off. One boy kicks them out of reach.
Hey, clap hands. Here comes Charlie.
West tosses another record, then grabs a whole box of them. The boys push Edwards away from the record player.
Move on.
West smashes a record on the corner of the box. Edwards grimaces as West heaves the box upwards. A dozen records fly up, then crash to the ground. As several boys dance in the aisles, Emmanuel closes the classroom door and blocks a well-dressed boy from leaving. Out of breath, Edwards blinks in disbelief. He watches Morales happily shaking his head to the music. The teacher sinks into a chair. Emmanuel walks over to Belazzi.
Wait till Miller hears about this jam session.
Where's that Miller man today anyway?
He's cutting class today.
When there's action, he cuts.
Is it funny? I was someplace else, too. Nobody was here.
The boys dance their way out of the classroom. In the hallway, Dottier looks questioningly at them as they stream past him. In the classroom, Santini hands Edwards his broken glasses and leaves him alone. A geometry problem on the board behind him is partially erased. Edwards gets out of his seat and surveys the room. Taking a few dazed steps, he pulls a piece of broken record from inside his jacket pocket. Dottier approaches as Edwards examines the broken fragment.
I broke my records. I don't understand, Rick. I just don't understand.
Edwards puts down the fragment, straightens his tie, and leaves. Dottier stares downward somberly. Later, Dottier stands in front of his class holding a tin can. He sets it down hard on his desk.
Now, the broken records can never be replaced. The phonograph cost about $40. I don't know which of you did it, but I know that none of you tried to stop it. So whenever you can, you just put your nickels and your dimes in this tin can.
Can you deduct it from taxes?
Dottier steps over to West and stares at him harshly. He looks over at Miller, who averts his gaze. Dottier returns to the front of the room. Later, in the teacher's break room.
But how did Warnicke discipline the kids?
A masterful stroke. He taught those little Mongolians a lesson they'll never forget. You know what he did? He got them all in the auditorium, and he had them write 500 times, "I respect private property."
Did anybody ever pay Edwards for those broken records?
Now, how about it, Daddy? That tin can full of money yet?
He's lucky if they don't steal the tin can.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to rig up an electric chair and bring it to my carpentry class. I'll tell my pupils it's a circuit tester. And I'll lead the little lice into the chair one by one. Throw the switch on
them. That's fine, except those kids will rig up that hot seat first, throw you into it, and fry you to death.
I'd have clobbered them.
Would you?
Sure.
Would you? They outnumber you, they outweigh you, and they outreach you. Besides, they get clobbered at home and in the streets. They're used to it.
That's why they understand it.
But what's that got to do with teaching?
I never have any trouble, not real trouble.
That's right, Miss Panucci. He's a clobber, you're a slobber. I'm just a nice woman trying to do my job. Now, please be nice, boys. You give them the veteran pitch. I got the Purple Heart, boys. Oh, you tell them about, what is that, that steel plate in your head? Or that artificial leg? You beg for sympathy. Look, I'm a veteran, fellas. Will you help me keep my job? But do you care if they learn anything? No. This guy's lucky they don't kick that artificial leg right out from underneath them. And you're a slumberer. You sleepwalk.
hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. Oh, I mean, every once in a while you make sounds like a teacher. Nobody cares. Nobody listens. I mean, nobody cares, especially you. This man here, he's a grumbler. You hate the kids, you have contempt for them, you condemn them.
All right, what about you, Zola?
I'm a fumbler. I'm not doing any better than the rest.
Well, what are we supposed to do? About butting our heads against the stone wall?
Yes.
With a lot of kids that don't want to learn in the first place?
Yes.
All right, how?
I don't know how. I mean, there must be some way to reach them.
Whom are you trying to convince? Me or you?
Dodie stares out the window at falling snow. Now his wife Ann greets a pudgy older woman on the steps of their apartment building.
Rotten day, ain't it?
Oh, hello, Mrs. Brophy.
You shouldn't be walking in the snow.
I like it.
Ann opens her mailbox.
I'd make him carry me like a Chinese pagoda. Where'd you go, the movies? It's funny the habit you get into. Every morning, as soon as my husband goes to work, quick, I turn on the radio. Nothing but cereals.
Ann opens an envelope. Inside, a message written on notebook paper reads, "Watch your husband, there's another woman." She picks up a telephone handset and goes to press the buzzer.
Your husband ain't home yet. I stopped in just now. I loaned a little rum for cooking, you know.
What time is it?
Oh, let me see. It's a little bit after 5. I don't care for liquor personally, but my old man...
Ann heads back outside.
...in a great way. You shouldn't be walking in the snow, Mrs. Daddy, eh?
Now, in the schoolyard, Morales gets hit in the head with a snowball as he throws his own. Ann walks through the gate wearing a long overcoat and black beret. A man shovels snow off the steps in front of her. She looks up at the school doors, then down at the note. Wincing, she shoves her hands in her pockets. As she turns and walks away, Dodie exits the building. He wraps his coat around himself, then hesitates with a curious gaze.
Ann?
He catches up to her as she steps outside the gate.
Ann?
She smiles at him.
Well, I thought it was you. Was something wrong?
No, no. No, it was late. You weren't home. I got lonely.
Sorry I was late.
What's a teacher do when he stays after school? Or is it ethical to tell?
Josh Edwards quit his job today. I was helping straighten his desk out. I tried to get him to change his mind, but...
He was right to quit. And if you had any sense, you'd get out of this place too, B. Before it's too late.
What would I do? Sell shoelaces? Run for president?
You teach in a decent place where kids want to learn. Where teachers respected. I wrote to Professor Krall.
She hands him a different letter.
Here's his answer. He says he can get you a job in his school. Tell him yes, Rick.
Maybe. We'll see.
What's so important about this place?
It's a challenge.
What else is it? You want to stay. You want to stay in this filthy, miserable...
Wait a minute. Come on now, hold it. You got enough troubles without me, you know. Have I told you today that I love you?
Do you?
What do you think?
I'm selfish. I want to be told.
Let's splurge and take a taxi home. We'll neck in the back seat. Taxi!
He hands her the letter, and she puts it in her coat pocket as a cab pulls up to the curb. Dodie opens the door for Ann, and they get in. Balazzi and two other boys watch as the taxi drives off, splashing through large puddles. Later, a bus stops in front of the school, and Dodie gets off. A man sprays the building and schoolyard with a hose as Dodie rushes by. Inside, boys dressed in winter coats walk the hallway rubbing their hands together. Dodie stops in the middle of the hall and listens.
When Israel was in Egypt's land.
Dodie enters the auditorium. He watches as Miller plays a piano, accompanying a group of singers gathered around him. Dodie steps closer.
No.
ain't no jam session. Stop jazzing it up, okay? All right, let's pick it up with Go Down Moses.
Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt land.
Tell old Pharaoh, let my people go.
Sounded real, real nice.
Fair, Chief. It'll get better. Cut out, fellas. I'll see you later.
The boys walk away.
If you're wondering about this, we didn't break in. Mr. Halloran loaned us the use of the hall.
No, I was just wondering if...
Maybe we'd play a spot on your Christmas show?
Yeah.
I figured.
Would you?
That's why we've been rehearsing, Mr. Dattier.
Where'd you learn to play the piano this way?
Picked it up.
What are the rules, Mueller?
Rules?
Yeah, what are the rules? I mean, you can be so cooperative on a thing like this. In my classroom, I...
You better get a move on, teach. You'll be late for your own class.
Want to walk up with me?
I'll be along.
Dottier nods his head and walks away. Now in the classroom, the boys sit in the dark and watch a cartoon movie. West frowns as Miller and the rest of the boys smile at the cartoon.
Hey! Master! Master!
Dottier runs the projector at the back of the room and watches the boys. West remains sour-faced amid his laughing classmates. Outside the room, several boys watch through the window. Savaldi, the carpentry teacher, approaches.
Jack ran for the beanstalk. The giant was close behind him.
Savaldi peeks in the window, then looks at the boys around him. Inside, West glances broodingly at Dottier as the rest of the class smiles. The cartoon shows Jack sliding down the beanstalk with the harp. As the giant shinnies down the beanstalk, Jack chops at it with an axe. Jack smugly polishes his nails on his shirt, then walks away from a giant man-shaped hole in the ground.
So Jack got rich, and when he grew up, he married a princess, and they lived happily forever after.
Dottier turns off the projector and opens the window shades.
Marilyn Monroe, hey?
Humphrey Bogart.
Well, what'd you think of the story?
It was lousy. There was no dance.
Miller, what did you think?
Well, this Jack, he's a pretty cool cat, all
right? I don't like fairy stories, you know?
Speranza?
I don't know. I kind of felt sorry for the giant.
Oh? Why's that?
Well, this Jack, he ain't no hero. He's a pretty dumb hick. Yeah, look, his old lady sends him out to sell a cow. Well, Jack the Jerk meets up with a con man, and he let him have the cow for a couple of crazy beans.
Yeah, that wasn't so smart.
And then he climbed that old beanstalk until he disappeared in another land.
Without a space helmet, man.
Yeah, how'd that giant get up there without any beanstalk?
This is a fairy story. Just flew.
I got this Jack pegged for a thief.
Oh? Well, the giant was supposed to kill Jack's father and stole his money.
How'd Jack know that? Well,
but suppose Jack thought that the giant stole from him. Did that give Jack the right to steal the hen that laid the golden egg?
No, he's got to have proof.
Suppose he had the proof. What then?
Jack, he should have called the cops.
Yeah, and the cops would have kept aloof for themselves, too.
That's right. Could be.
Not the FBI.
Sure. That magic harp. If the giant would have been so bad, the harp would have wanted to be snatched.
Could be.
Now, why do you suppose that magic harp liked that giant so much?
I know. Because a giant, he liked music.
That Jack was a real heist man. He got away with burglary three times.
I like the part where he knocked off the giant.
Who cares? The whole thing here's a phony.
Wilson, you think Jack should have killed the giant?
Yeah, sure, he was chasing him.
Somebody stole from you, wouldn't you chase him? Look, the way I get it figured, this Jack, he's a square. First off, he don't care if his old lady starves to death.
On the button, man. Didn't he sell the cow for a handful of beans?
Then he turned burglar.
And then he commit murder.
And for all of this, he gets a reward.
He's rich.
And he marries a princess.
You know why? Because he took what he wanted, because crime always pays.
But it was a crime, wasn't it?
So what?
Yeah, it was only some stinking giant anyway.
Why don't you like the giant, Morales?
Because he's a giant.
You're a Dodger fan, is that right? Now, no kidding, fellas. I mean, you don't like the giant because he's different than anybody else.
That's right.
But is that right? I mean, is it right to dislike somebody just because he's different? I mean, there's a lot of us right here in this classroom. We're different than anybody else.
If the story's so cockeyed, then what's the point of it?
Now we're getting somewhere. Now, all your lives, you're going to hear stories. What some guy tells you, what you see in books and magazines, on the television, radio, what you read in the newspapers. But if you can just examine the story, look for the real meaning. And most of all, fellas, if you'll just learn to think for yourself.
Here it comes. And here comes the commercial.
That giant, if he done wrong, at least I think he should have had a trial.
Miller winks at Dottier.
How about some more stories like that?
Yeah, a story about football.
Hey, Teach, maybe I'll turn out to be a critic on the movies.
How did you like the Jack of the Beanstalk? Turn out to be a thief like everybody else.
I like the story.
As the boys file out, Savaldi and Murdoch approach Dottier.
So, you finally got through to him.
I think so. Yes, for once, for the first time.
Well, what's the answer? Visual education?
Yeah, partly. And if you can just get them stimulated.
Sure, they'll go for movies. Will that teach them to read?
No, but if you can get them to use their imagination, get them to reach out for something.
But certainly not knowledge.
No, but if they could use their intelligence, get their minds out of comic books.
Minds? A mind would indicate a brain, and a brain...
Before he proves Darwin was right, I've got a class. Look, if you still need a Santa Claus for your Christmas show.
I do.
Well, you got one.
As Savaldi leaves, Dottier smiles at Murdoch, then to himself. Now, Anne approaches the apartment building. She hesitates before opening the mailbox, then pulls out an envelope and clutches it severely. Later in the apartment, the first note lies on a table. Another note written on identical notebook paper and in the same handwriting reads, "At school all day, every day." Anne tosses down the newest envelope and lays a third note on top. Her name is Lois Hammond. Anne goes to the phone. Her maternity frock covers her full belly.
Hello?
Your husband won't be home tonight. He's gonna be with her.
Who is this? Hello? Hello?
Furrowing her brow, Anne hangs up the phone. Now Dottier directs Miller's singing group on stage.
Move in a little bit, fellas. Just a little closer together. Will you hit him with a spot here?
He shields his eyes.
Wait a minute, I can't see. Will you turn the footlights out? That's it. Now, raise it up. I just want to catch their faces. Up, that's it. All right, now remember that effect, huh?
Got it?
All right, fellas. Give me the work light here, will you? Miller? Stick around a minute, will you? I want to talk to you about an encore.
Savaldi approaches in a Santa suit.
Oh, I'm going to go. Oh, I'm bushed.
Thanks for staying.
It's shaping up okay, huh?
Say, isn't it always quiet before an earthquake?
Good night, before he has him burning the school down.
Well, now that you mention it.
Good night.
Well, could I be wrong? Have you got these wild animals trained?
No, not trained. Just interested.
Don't forget your history. Never turn your back. Good night.
Good night.
Murdoch turns to Miss Hammond.
You coming?
I have a little more work to do.
As Murdoch leaves, Miss Hammond saunters over to Dottier.
Need me for anything else, Mr. Director?
No, thanks.
That's too bad.
I mean, the costumes are fine, Lois.
I know what you mean. That's why it's too bad.
Look, Lois, you're tired.
No, not tired. Just bored. Just good and bored. You know? Maybe I shouldn't have transferred to this school. Maybe I should have... Tell me, Rick, don't you ever get fed up with this place? Don't you ever get tired of teaching? Don't you feel that you want to throw your briefcase away and take a flyer someplace? Any place. With me, maybe. Don't you? Don't you, Rick?
He looks down.
I guess not. You'd like to, all right, but you're married. You're married, and I'm bored. You're afraid, and I'm choosy. And you can't be choosy, or you live alone.
You keep thinking that way, you're going to end up in a mess of trouble.
Mr. Dottier?
I'll be right with you, Miller.
I got to get to my job.
Dottier rises to his feet and holds out Miss Hammond's coat for her.
Good night, Lewis.
She walks over and puts her arms through the sleeves. Dottier hands her her purse, and she leaves. Now at the apartment, Anne folds laundry on the bed. Smiling, she picks up the phone receiver.
Darling?
Your husband is with her right now.
Stop it.
He'll tell you he was busy with the Christmas show.
Please.
But he's with
please
her.
Please don't call anymore. Would you please leave me alone? Please leave me alone.
Anne stares ahead uneasily. Now, Dottier and Miller walk down the street past some welders.
I don't need no more schooling. Why? Why, Miller?
But what's wrong with being a mechanic?
You don't want to be, do you?
Well, there ain't much choice, is there? So same reason I live in this neighborhood. Colored neighborhood, Mr. Dottier. And folks don't care who fix up that car, black or white, just so long as it's fixed good.
They enter a garage.
You're late, boy.
Yeah, I'll be early tomorrow night.
This one needs a new set of spark plugs. They'll pick it up at 9.
Okay.
Miller puts on coveralls.
You think we got a good school, Mr. Dottier?
Yes.
You really think that?
Important thing is, do you want to learn?
In the beginning, I tried. Real hard. But what's the use? Nobody gives a
food.
Not the other fellas. Not the teachers. Not my folks, even.
So you quit trying. That's the easy way out, Miller.
That's the only way.
Now, sometimes we got to do what's best, even though that might be the more difficult way.
We talking from different sides of the fence, Mr. Dottier. You're not black, remember?
That's not a good enough excuse. Not nowadays, and you know it, Miller. And Dr. Ralph Bunch proved that. George Washington Carver, Marian Anderson, Joe Lewis.
So?
So I don't want you to quit, that's all. Now, you'll be of age at the end of this term. Don't give up trying, Miller. Don't quit.
Mr. Dottier, you're pretty new at this. Soon you're going to be quitting yourself.
All right, look, I'll make a deal with you. We'll have sort of a pact, you and I. Neither of us quit. How about it? Say, you know, that wasn't true what you said about teachers. Some of us do care, you know.
He stares at Miller, then walks away.
Good night.
Good night.
Later, outside the apartment building, people stand by nervously as an ambulance drives off. The pudgy Mrs. Brophy stops Dottier as he climbs the front steps.
Hospital. Emergency. I just dropped in to lend a little something.
Well, what happened?
Your missus, I mean. She's starting to have terrible pains. Just
Dottier
terrible.
Runs to a taxi.
7 months. Oh, don't worry, Mr. Dottier. I'll bring her things. Oh.
Later, Dottier paces down a clean, well-lit hallway. A doctor wearing scrubs walks in through swinging doors.
Pretty long?
Quite a while.
The doctor shakes his hand, then shows him into a private locker room.
Is she
going to
be all right?
Well, she's fine, Mr. Dottier.
Sure.
Yes, your wife is fine. She just had a boy.
Well, what do you mean, had?
Well, he's still in danger.
I don't understand.
Well, the baby was premature. That together with... What was your wife worried about, Mr. Dottier? She seemed to be mentally disturbed. She wouldn't talk about it.
Well, she lost a baby once.
No. I know about that. No, this was something secret. There was no trouble between you and your wife, Mr. Dottier.
He eyes the doctor.
I'm sorry.
The doctor changes out of his scrubs.
Is the baby going to live?
I don't know. 3 or 4 days should tell us that.
Does Anne? I mean, have you told Anne about the baby yet?
The doctor shakes his head.
Mind if I see her?
Well, she's still in a twilight condition, not fully awake or fully asleep, but... All right, you can see her.
Thank you.
Arthur!
As Dottier leaves, the doctor summons a colleague and nods to him, then looks away, his brow pursed. Now Dottier enters a sterile hospital room. He gently closes the door and walks over to Anne's bedside. A wall light shines over her. Sweat glistens on her forehead as she sleeps. As Dottier leans over the bed, her eyes open slightly.
Hi. You all right?
Tired. Just awfully tired. I think I could sleep for a week.
Yeah, well, look, honey, you try and get some sleep, huh?
No, go. Not yet. Wait until they chase you.
He sits down beside her.
happened kind of suddenly. We made it this time, didn't we?
Yeah.
Dottier softly kisses her hand.
Have you seen the baby yet?
No. No, I haven't.
It's a boy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Happy, Rick.
Sure.
Still love me?
Oh, Anne, I love you. Look, I love you very, very much.
In the hall, Mrs. Brophy hands a suitcase to an orderly.
Thank you. Oh, Mrs. Brophy, thanks a lot for all your trouble.
Trouble, mister? What do you men know about trouble? I found these letters on the floor. I guess she was reading them when the pain started. I don't understand you, mister. I just don't understand.
She walks away as Dottier leafs through the pages of notebook paper. His gaze darts, switching feverishly from Mrs. Brophy to Anne's door to the letters. His mouth tightens into a frown. Later, at his apartment, Dottier holds a gift-wrapped box as he talks to Murdoch.
It's a necktie, a gift from the kids.
Dottier chucks it.
Merry Christmas.
The kids were only trying to show their appreciation of what you did for them.
Yeah, well, I'd like to give them something for what they did to me.
The show was a big success tonight. Miller and his boys sang beautifully.
I don't want to hear about it, Jim. I don't want to hear about the show, about the school, about Miller, about anything. Because I'm through. I'm finished. I'm quitting. As far as I'm concerned, that school is just dead. What was it you called it? Huh? Was it a great big garbage can? Huh? Yeah? Oh, man, how right you were. Well, I've had it right up to here. I'm quitting. I'm getting another job. 10 miles and 3,000 delinquents away from here.
Now, I was the one that was wrong. You proved something. The kids in our school can be taught. If you don't stop trying, you got through to them. And those same kids, when they came into my class, little of your momentum carried over, and all of a sudden, I wanted to get through to them, too. Hey, that was a big day for me. If I could have 2 days a week
you
like
can
that,
have
I,
it. I... You can have it. But just remember what you told me. What was it? Don't turn your back on him. Huh?
Now, look, if you quit here, you'll quit at the next school, too. Then you'll quit teaching altogether.
So what? Who cares, Jim? Who cares? You think the kids care? Their parents care?
Who cares about teachers, anyhow?
Look, I want to show you something, Jim, I wrote down. Now, just listen to this. Teachers get $2 an hour, right? Now, listen. A congressman and a judge earn $9.25 an hour. Policeman and fireman, $2.75 an hour. Carpenter, $2.81. Plumber, $2.97. Plaster, $3.21. You know, a household cook gets more money than we do, and they get room and board. Oh, yes, I know a teacher. And they get as much as a babysitter or a soda jerk.
He crumples the paper in his fist.
$2 an hour for a teacher.
Now, Anne stands by her hospital bed in a robe.
Few moments, the new year will be officially born. Come in, Times Square.
She relaxes into a large chair and folds a blanket over her lap. Dottier enters. He hands her a bouquet of flowers.
Thank you.
Leaning over her, Dottier kisses her lips, then her forehead.
Feeling all right?
Now that you're here.
He strokes her cheek, then turns away.
What's the matter?
What? Nothing.
Is it about the baby?
No, I didn't see the doctor, Anna. He was busy.
Happy New Year!
He abruptly turns a knob on the radio. Looking at Anne, he steps away and puts his hands in his overcoat pockets.
I'm scared, Anne. I'm really scared. What if the baby doesn't live?
He will.
Yeah.
I know he will.
Well, what if he doesn't? You know, I wanted that baby. I needed that baby just as much as you did. But all my life, I wanted to teach kids. And my son was gonna kind of help me, you know. Through him, maybe I'd learn to understand.
Rick.
Hmm?
No matter what happens, I love you. I was silly and vain and selfish, so I doubted you. I was like one of the bad kids in your class. Somebody told me a lie, and I believed that lie.
One's as bad as the other.
So I want to tell you something.
I was wrong about something else, too. I wanted you to quit teaching in that school. I understand now why you wanted to keep trying.
Please.
I'm glad you didn't
quit. Now, wait a minute.
Honey, kids are people. And most people are worthwhile. We all need the same thing. Patience, understanding, love. You've got that to give them, darling. And that's why you'll get through to them.
The doctor enters, expressionless. The couple gazes downward.
Your son's out of danger. He's gonna make it.
With a smile, the doctor turns a knob on the radio. He turns to go, then faces the couple.
Happy New Year, Mr. and Mrs. Kennedy.
Dottier takes Anne's hand. Anne looks lovingly at her husband as he holds back tears. Now in the classroom.
Pretty soon you're going to be reading in the newspapers want ads for jobs, apartments, something to buy. Now, advertising space is very expensive, so abbreviations are used. Now, write out the complete words to all the abbreviations in these problem ads. I'll get started.
With Dottier's back to them, Balazzi leans forward to see Morales' paper. Dottier looks up from the empty tin can and spots the cheater.
Balazzi, let's keep your eyes on your own paper. Please? Cheating won't help you learn those abbreviations, you know.
He's not going to look for no job. His old man owns a store.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy me no Cadillac, man.
No, it's cheaper to steal one. That's arithmetic, teacher.
Balazzi leans across the aisle and looks at another boy's paper. Dottier scans the room sternly.
All right, Balazzi. Bring your paper up here.
Balazzi tosses aside his pencil and saunters up to Dottier. Dottier takes a pen from his pocket and writes on the boy's paper.
5 points up. A four.
For having loose eyes.
Balazzi takes his paper back to his seat. Now West cheats, looking over his shoulder and blatantly copying answers off another boy's paper. Dottier glares at him.
West.
You talking to me, Teach?
He continues copying.
Bring your paper up here, West.
What for?
I said bring your paper up here.
And I said what for?
Ah, come on, Artie, bring him the paper.
Now, look, you just keep your rotten mouth out of this, black boy.
Miller springs out of his seat.
Hold it.
Miller and West lock gazes. Balazzi and Emmanuel stare coolly at Dottier, who slowly crosses the room.
All right. All right, Miller. It's all right. I bring your paper up here, West.
West keeps his gaze on Miller as he crumples the paper in his fist and throws it to the floor. Dottier stares at him from the front of the class.
All right, we're going down to see the principal.
We are? You're going to make me, Dottier?
Come on, let's go.
How'd you like to go to hell?
Dottier stops in his tracks. He looks at West, then gazes around the room at the other boys. Balazzi cocks his head.
What's the matter, Dottier?
Yeah, how about it, Teach? You got a big mouth? Tell me to do this, to do that? Well, are you big enough to take me down to principal's office? Because that's just what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to take me. Well, come on, take me! Come on!
Dottier steps toward West, who reaches into his back pocket. He pulls out a switchblade. Several boys stand and back away from their seats. Santini removes his glasses, his smile gone. As Dottier's eyes scan left, then right, Balazzi slowly gets out of his seat. Emmanuel runs to the door and pulls a shade down over the window. Dottier steps closer to West.
Come on. For a bright boy, you didn't learn nothing. Well, take me down. Come on. Step right up and taste a little of this, Dottier.
As Dottier inches closer, West backs away, pointing the blade.
Give me that knife, West.
What do you want it? You want it in the belly? How about in the face, huh?
Give me that knife.
Here it is. All you gotta do is take it. Now, come on. Come on, take it. Come on.
Take it easy, Chief.
He's crazy. He's high. He's floating on Sneaky Pete wine.
He's gonna kill him.
All you gotta do is take it. Come on, take it.
Miller sees Balazzi sneaking up behind Dottier.
That's just what I'm gonna do, Big Shot.
Miller shoves Balazzi into the wall and punches him in the gut. As Dottier turns, distracted, West jabs, cutting his hand. Blood trickles over Dottier's knuckles.
Come on, West.
With a hint of a smile, Dottier motions to the boy with his bloody hand. West backs further away as Dottier moves in closer.
Come on. Where you going, boy? Come on, Balazzi.
Balazzi crouches, doubled over in a corner.
Come on. Morales?
Morales stays put. West eases backwards past three motionless boys.
Stoker.
Emmanuel wrings his hands.
Santini.
You keep out of this. You want a gang fight? You want to start a rump? Come on, boy, just make a move.
All right, you guys.
West grabs at the boys behind him.
I said, all right, move, both!
They stay put.
What's the matter, West? You need help? You're holding the handle of that knife. Come on, you're the leader. You're the tough guy, huh? You can't cut alone, huh, West? You're not so tough without a gang to back you up, are you, West? But you were tough that night in the alley, weren't you? 7-2. It's about your odds, isn't it? Maybe this time you get cut up.
Yeah. Dottier backs West toward a blackboard.
You know, the gang up didn't work. Then you went to the principal with that story about race prejudice. You couldn't get rid of me that way. Then you started sending those foul letters to my wife. Didn't you? Didn't you, West?
He's backed into a corner.
End of the line, boy.
His nearby classmates scatter. West lunges at Dottier, who dodges and pushes the kid up against the blackboard. The knife drops to the floor. Dottier's hands seize West by the shoulders and shake him violently, pounding him against the board. Balazzi, still clutching his gut, eyes the knife. Miller and three others watch soberly as Dottier lets go of West. Blood from his hand stains West's sweatshirt.
Not here.
Now, Balazzi crawls for the switchblade and grabs it.
Hey! Hey! Balazzi!
Shut up, chicken. I'm getting out of here. I'm not going to reform school. Not me.
Me? What about me?
You're on your own. Open up! Get me out of the way! What's the matter with you guys? What do you got against me?
As Emmanuel, Morales, and Miller block the door, Santini rams the flagpole into Balazzi's chest. Morales picks up the knife.
Morales! Use it.
Morales jabs the knife into a desk and snaps it in half. Emmanuel wraps a handkerchief around Dottier's hand.
Some cuts.
We'll take you to a doctor. We'll get you fixed up, Teach.
After we take these two down to the principal's office.
His students gather around. Miller looks at the other boys, who all look to Dottier.
All right, fellas. I know. You're saying, why do that? Why not forget the whole thing? No, not this time. There's no place for these two in your classroom. Look, we've all made a step forward this morning. Now, there's no sliding back now. Not ever again. Now, whether you like it or not, I'm taking these two downstairs.
I think maybe we give you a hand, Mr. Dottier.
Okay, fellas?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dottier grips West's sleeve in his fist.
Well, I think they'll go along. Come on, West.
Let's go.
Balazzi! Come on!
Dottier yanks West and Balazzi out of the corner, and they file out of the classroom. Emmanuel and Miller follow.
What made you change your mind?
They did.
You okay, Mr. Daddio, sir?
I think so, Santini. I think so.
Later, Miller catches up to Dottier on his way out of the school. The boy shakes the tin can.
87 cents so far.
Well, thanks, Miller. Thanks for everything.
It's okay, Chief. There's talk you quitting the school, going someplace where there's nice little obedient boys and girls.
Now, what do you think?
Well, I figure it's just talk.
Why?
Well, you know the ropes around here pretty good now. It'd be a shame to waste all that. I guess everybody learns something in school, even teachers.
Yes, I guess so.
Besides, it'd be kind of rough breaking in somebody new. Well, See you tomorrow, Mr. Dajay.
I thought you were quitting at the end of the year. Is that right?
Well, we have a pact. We wouldn't want to break that.
No, I guess we wouldn't.
See you around.
I'll see you around.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock.
Dajay watches Miller walk across the street. He looks back at the school and smiles to himself. Words appear. The end. Blackboard Jungle. Made in Hollywood, USA by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Cast. Glenn Ford as Richard Dajay. Anne Francis as Anne Dajay. Louis Calhern as Jim Murdoch. Margaret Hayes as Lois Judby Hammond. John Hoyt as Mr. Warnicky. Richard Kiley as Joshua Y. Edwards. Emil Meyer as Mr. Halloran. Warner Anderson as Dr. Bradley. Basil Ruisdael as Professor A.R. Krall. Sidney Poitier as Gregory W. Miller. Vic Morrow as Artie West. Dan Terranova as Balazzi. Rafael Campos as Pete V. Morales. Paul Mazursky as Emmanuel Stoker, and others.